Perfect. Hi, how are you, friends and neighbors, and welcome into another edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour, Season 2, Episode 3, Episode 37, overall, titled Piñata Party. I'm Logan Loganity Morse, feeling much better, thank you for not asking, and looking forward to bringing in my fine folks and friends and neighbors, and luckily I don't do it alone. Let's bring him in, let's start it off, let's bring in the best man, the man with such perfectly coiffed hair and a well-trimmed beard. I swear he's gone to the finest salon you've ever thought about. Let's bring him in, senior open world guru, but he's not too bad on what used to be known as stock cars either. Colin Best, come on in here.
Hey guys. Doing, glad to be back for another week. We have racing on our belts, but we have more racing this weekend as Formula One will make its glorious return this weekend. I'm very excited. I'm here with my half-sour pickle. It's going to be a very fantastic day. Got my Taylor Swift Eras Tour cup right here. Because why not? And I didn't really plan this. I had to go do some things, but I got myself a little happy snack. It's a half sour pickle.
Nice. Yeah, snack time's the right time.
Pickle's ever been eaten on the show before. Yeah. Got to be honest with you. I wanted it to be smaller because when it started, it was a huge pickle. And I didn't want memes to be taking place.
Oh, Lord. Well, we're off to a rousing start here on this episode. Let's bring in the show creator, the man that's going to help keep us a little bit on track here. Let's bring in the favorite Canadian for the next hour or so. Canadian Adam Carbine, come on in here.
Come on in, Adam.
Hi, guys.
I swear, his beard gets longer and longer every show, doesn't it?
I know. What do you use? What's your product?
Oh, you know, just a little Rogaine, and no, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I don't put anything in it. It just keeps growing. I never trim it. That's why it gets longer every episode.
You don't use any fine beard oil?
No, I don't. I probably should, but
beard oil on your set.
There you go. He's got it ready.
Yeah. First of all, this is a desk that I spent a lot of time in. All right. This is what you think goes on here is not what goes on here. Anywho, let's bring in the lady that does know everything that goes on here, both good and bad, I promise you. I'm of course talking about, she was indisposed last week. She has fought through tornadoes to be here this week. Let's bring her in. Ryan Blaney's biggest fan. Producer Peggy.
I see your pickle. And I raise you a whole burger.
Is that from Burger King?
It is.
Wow.
My goodness. All this free sponsorship today.
Like, I don't want
to tell you. Adam, we got to bring it. We got to get ourselves set next week.
We got to do sponsorship in order to get sponsorship. All right.
Is that like spend money to make money thing?
As long as it's not Wendy's right now, because Wendy's can stay far away from me as possible with this price gouging Baconator. All right,
I have been.
I heard
that is why God smited the state of Ohio with tornadoes last night. Salt, because it's no mistake that the headline comes out at noon yesterday, and then overnight. Tornadoes roll through Ohio. It's no mistake that God smited this state of Ohio.
Dylan nope. Decker, thanks for tuning in.
We will also say that, you know, our thoughts are with those affected by the tornado and hope everyone's all right.
Yes.
Luckily, no one got hurt.
And boy, you know this, you know, and we don't get political on this show. We promise to never do that to you. But there's too good of a joke here. You know, the economy's in questionable shape when even Jesus goes, I do not want fluctuating Wendy's prices. So anywho, that is as close as we'll ever get to politics. We promise. Dylan, thanks for tuning in. Everybody else. If you're offended by that joke, for God's sake, just smile. Pete's.
It's like when Mr. Krabs sees the people walking up and he's like, money. $100 for a Krabby Patty with cheese, Mr. Squidward, with cheese.
Do you guys put cheese on your Whopper? There's one correct
yes.
answer. No. Yeah. No, it ruins the Whopper. Cheese on every other burger, yes.
Does it come with cheese? Without cheese is not good.
Adam, help me.
Okay.
Adam, help me.
It does not naturally come with cheese. They ask you, do you want cheese on it? And you're supposed to say, no.
What godless heathen doesn't put cheese on their cheeseburger?
Dylan says, double Texas Whopper or nothing. I'll tell you. I like to get, you know, I've been liking the Bacon King myself. Anywho, we got to move on, for God's sake.
We do.
There is no cheese.
This is definitely going to make the best of Raisin Refresh episode.
I'm removing her. There we go.
Raisin Refresh episode. Look, so one of you two, please hit the button. It's time for our weekend review.
I hope she's got it.
Wow.
Oh, there we go. She had to wipe her hands, I'm sure.
There it is. That's all right. Look, there's nothing like ketchup, mustard, onion, and weekend review, folks. So let's talk about the truck race quickly. Did you notice, ladies and gentlemen, or whatever you identify as, did you notice that all of a sudden a respected, grizzled, frankly, cantankerous veteran gets in the field and suddenly the trucks, they behave? Suddenly, everybody knew Kyle Busch was in the field because that was some of the cleanest truck racing you're ever going to see, because they're like, oh, my God, this guy could get pissed off and then go viral. And I don't want that. It's bad for the sponsorship. We ain't seen Garrett Smithley since. no, we have a few times, but it was rare. So Kyle Busch won a truck race. Stop me if you've heard that before. Okay. And seen. Adam, any thoughts that run through your mind? Let's talk about this. There's not much to say about the race. He did what he does in a truck race. But I used to be, and I said this last week, used to be very hard on the fact of him or any other veteran coming down and running the lower series. And now I miss it, by God, because this was proof of, I guess, why they do it in the first place. Because for somehow or another, you ever hear the saying, someone's presence just makes a difference? His presence just made a difference in the quality of racing we saw throughout. Adam, I'll let you start with that. What do you think of that? Disagree with me or what?
Yeah, I think you're onto something there, Logan. I don't know if I put that together myself, but it was a cleaner race for sure, obviously, than Daytona or Phoenix last year for sure, which was like the ultimate low of lows. But I would say maybe that's the reason. Maybe they're all afraid to get on the bad side of Kyle Busch. And I mean, I would be afraid too as well. I have run into him a few times and I'm always terrified. So I get it. He does have a presence for sure. And I think he has mellowed a bit, you know, over the last little while. And that's kind of nice to see, but you never know when that little prickly stab will come out of nowhere. Right. So I think that could be right. You know, the trucks actually ran a cleaner race than the Cup Series did almost. So.
I have nothing but good things to say about Kyle Busch and his prickly attitude, as we all know. Dylan says, say what you want about his Cup career. He is the GOAT of trucks. If he took it full time instead of Cup, there wouldn't be a second thought. I agree. He is the GOAT of trucks. It's only when they try to, you know, equate a certain win number with another certain win number that I start getting really cattywampus. It's not the same damn thing. anywho,
if Kyle Busch ran a full time season of trucks somehow, like if he stepped away from
Cup,
right now? I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's coming anytime soon. But
well, no, someday I think it will, though. I think he's still a consultant at Spire, and that's going to lead to some other things.
I know, but like, you know, 3 or 4 years down the road, his, you know, he's going to be older and, you know, reaction time's a little slower. I'm saying right now,
it's not going to matter in the truck.
How many wins does Kyle Busch get in a season full-time in the trucks?
There's 23 races in the truck series, correct?
Yeah.
He gets over 3/4 of them for sure. It would be Max Verstappen level dominant.
Yeah, it would be, I'm going to say, at least 17 to 18.
He'd run away with it.
And the 5 or 6 that he loses is not because he lost them. A pit crew screwed up, uncontrolled tire, flat tire, something. He will, in my opinion, Adam, and this is just my opinion, and it's the only one that counts when I'm talking. For me, I really believe. Can you tell I'm feeling better? By the way, I really believe that. When Kyle Busch steps away from full-time cup driving, I think he'll do a full-time cup season. And I don't know when that's going to be. And I know you say older and reaction time and all that. This guy is a once-in-a-generation talent. And so I don't think it matters. I think in 5 years, 10 years, if ever he decides to kind of live out the dream with him and Brexton Busch, I think he could own that piece still to this day. We'll see what happens. You never say never. You could be right and I could be wrong. We'll never know about it. Colin, what say you on the cleaner racing for the truck series, and then we'll move on to the Xfinity. Do you think it was Kyle Busch's presence that kind of made it, you know, kind of got the boys in line, for lack of a better term?
I don't know if it was Kyle Busch's presence as much as I feel like the truck series runs on a lower budget, and going through 2 weeks where you're tearing up equipment sets you back behind the eight ball a lot farther than it would be, considering that. I think what we saw out of the truck series and the Xfinity series was interesting, like the tamer races of the entire weekend where we got to the Cup Series and then things just really escalated into big wrecks and big pressure moments. But for me, I think the truck series comes down to A, Kyle Busch was probably the most dominant truck of the day, but also the inexperience on super speedways probably plays into a part of it too. And considering the fact that We damn near saw the return of the convertible series in NASCAR after 50, 60 some odd years away from it. I mean, this race was full of oddities from start to finish. And to be honest with you, I mean, it was okay. But Nick Sanchez won at Daytona. For Kyle Busch, I think, you know, this is the first of many wins in his 5 starts that he will be getting in the truck series. So this isn't the last time Kyle Busch goes to victory lane in the truck series in 2024.
Look, I got to agree with you. 5 races, I think he wins at least 4 of them, probably 5 of them. I mean, I know he had a bit of a down year by his lofty standards in the truck series last year, but I think he'll be back with a vengeance you know, he proved that thus far at Atlanta. But you're right, making some good points about the super speedways. We'll see what happens with Kyle Busch. We'll see what happens with the truck series. If anything, it's compelling television. Say what you will about the quality of it sometime, but by God, you know, people watch that Real Housewives of Hollywood, and that can't be any crazier than the truck series.
I mean, people watch this show sometimes, so... Yeah.
Yep. You're right. We love it. Wow, college camera said what? People watch?
Yeah, I hit my thing. I'm scripts and I'm trying to get my notes here. I have everything on my...
I understand. Colin started acting like his fly was down. All right, move on. We have to move on. Austin Hill.
The first time today.
Austin Hill. Austin King of the Hill. Austin Big Time Bobby Hill. He got his second straight win. He's becoming a real super speedway savant. Now, I know we just had this conversation last week. I still have the same answer, but it makes for good, compelling podcasting. Colin, is Austin Hill the best super speedway racer in all of NASCAR?
I think he's certainly probably one of the most talented super speedway racers, but I wouldn't say he's the best. I mean, I still think out of all NASCAR series right now, the best super speedway racer is Denny Hamlin, and that's not even close for debate. Certainly, if once Denny Hamlin leaves, I would think Austin Hill would immediately take that spot as the best super speedway racer. But I mean, I don't think Austin Hill probably would have been in this position if the people didn't run out of fuel in the final closing laps of that race. I think it was Jesse Love's race to absolutely win, and he led like what 101, 104 laps of 160 laps. He led pretty much the entire day. And if he didn't run out of fuel, I think Jesse Love would have been the guy to beat, or he probably would have walked away with this win. So I think instead of skill for Austin Hill, he was there where he needed to be. But I feel like the dominoes fell his way in Atlanta over the weekend for him to secure the win rather than him just, you know, winning it on skill.
Let us know in the comments what you think. Is Austin Hill the best super speedway racer in all of NASCAR at this point? We know he's got something figured out with Daytona, three straight there, and then he comes on back and says, ATL, yo. Adam, what say you? Where is Austin Hill rank for you with super speedway racers right now, and what do you make of his hot start to the 2024 Xfinity Series season?
Yeah, it's kind of weird, actually, because I was I have a little my spreadsheet that I keep updated. I have a little section where I have the pole winner and the race winner, and it was two races in a row. Both Jesse Love and Austin Hill had pole and race win in a row. It was like this Groundhog Day here. We're seeing the exact same race two times in a row. Is Austin Hill the best? I don't know. I think it's hard to say because we haven't seen him have any success in the Cup Series yet. And I think that's when you're racing against kind of the premier talent. And that's not to, you know, say anything bad about the Xfinity Series, but you just, you know, that is the second tier. And so while he is dominating down there, I don't know if that makes him the best in all of NASCAR. I know Colin makes a case for Denny Hamlin, and I don't know. I think Bubba Wallace is up there, to be honest. I was just looking at my stats. Bubba Wallace has a better super speedway record, by average finish than Denny Hamlin. So, I mean, it's a smaller sample size, but still he's 26 super speedways he's raced on now over the course of his Cup career. And, he's got a better average finish than Denny. So I don't know, maybe Bubba might be the one, or at least he's turning into the one. I don't know. He's two straight back-to-back, P5s to start the season too. So,
I'll let you expand upon that, Colin. You looked like a man that vehemently disagreed with that statement. I'd like to get your rebuttal.
Yeah, I mean, he just touched on it. I'm thinking minimum starts here. If we're talking about who would I rather have in a super speedway race as a person above a minimum start, let's just say maybe 75 super speedway starts, I would say Denny Hamlin probably is the guy out of everyone in the NASCAR Cup Series garage or in the NASCAR garage period to be the one behind you at a super speedway race, or if you had to choose someone to win, it'd be him. After that, you know, I think in my mind that, like, I think there's a couple of better super speedway drivers than Austin Hill. I would say Michael McDowell for sure would probably be up there because he seems to always be competitive at these events, and he's certainly getting better and better. Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, I wouldn't say Kyle Busch, considering he only has like two wins, but I mean, rather than that, he's been sort of mediocre on super speedway races. I mean, I wouldn't take anyone in the Hendrick stable by far. All of them are pretty terrible, with outliers with William Byron and Chase Elliott picking up wins at super speedway. So to me, I think the best three super speedway drivers in NASCAR right now would probably be a tie between Keselowski and Logano, McDowell, and then Denny Hamlin.
It's an interesting conversation. Let us know in the comments who you think the best super speedway driver is. But we got to keep moving along because, in case you all haven't heard, if you've lived under Patrick Starr's rock for a little while, we saw one of the greatest finishes, maybe the greatest finish in NASCAR history, Sunday evening. It looked like a scene out of the Cars movie. You'll love our meme on Race and Refresh social media. If you follow us on Facebook there, you should definitely do that, by the way. What an incredible finish. I can't say enough. I know that the new Atlanta is kind of a controversial topic because Atlanta is one of those tried and true old school tracks that had plenty of history on the old configuration, right? Plenty. of it. But what a finish. Dylan Decker says, by the way, Denny in Cup, AJ, Allmendinger in Xfinity, and X in Trucks for the best in Super Speedways. Interesting thought there. AJ, don't rule out old AJ Allmendinger. Yeah, the Danger. So, what an incredible finish, Atlanta. I hope that everyone, even if you don't like the new Atlanta, I hope you all appreciate the fact that we saw history. We saw absolute history. We may never see it again. And if we do see it again, as the great Bush Craven finish kind of proves, it's going to be a while, my friends. So let's talk about it. Incredible finish. Daniel Suarez, mi amigo, that's why it's called Piñata Party. He wins for the first time in 57 races. I had to put a little spack on that just to so you understand how long ago that has been. Wonderful, wonderful win for him. But first, let's talk about that incredible finish. Adam, I'll come to you first time around here. Suarez gets the edge in the three race horse that was Kyle Busch, Daniel Suarez, and defending champ Ryan Blaney. At my first glance, I thought it was Ryan Blaney. At my first glance, naked eye, I thought it was Ryan Blaney. I know you keep up and watch every race, and I know Colin, you do too. But I'll start with Adam here. Who do you think won it at first naked eye? Did you think Suarez was it? Because I had Blaney.
Yeah, I had Blaney too, and I think partially I was swayed just by, I think it was Clint Boyer in the booth who said, I think it's Blaney. And so I kind of was like, oh, he's probably got the best view because he's actually at the track. So I figured, oh, he knows what he's talking about. I didn't think it would be Suarez for sure. But, I mean, congrats to him. I was going to say, you know, I was at his last win in Sonoma, his one and only other win. And that was the first Cup Series race that I ever covered. So live at the track. So it, and that feels like a really long time ago. So I can't imagine what it feels like for him. It must be very exciting. I don't know. You know, he won that NASCAR Mexico race at the Clash. Maybe we should have seen something coming. I don't know. He's got something different going this year. Definitely like an important year for him as well. So, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I think what's being lost somewhere here is like, I can't use words today, apparently. I'm sorry. What I'm trying to say is everyone's been focused on this amazing three wide ending, and it was amazing. Don't get me wrong. But honestly, the rest of the race was really fun, too. Like, even with an ending that wasn't like that, I think we would still look back fondly on this race and say, wow, that was really entertaining. And I think Jeff Gluck put it best on one of his tweets. He said something like, you know, we're all going to remember where we were when we saw this race. And this finish, because like you said, look, we did witness history. So yeah, I think it was a super fun race all around, and then a perfect ending to cap it all off.
Completely agree with you, Mr. Caravine. Whenever NASCAR does their big next celebration, whether that's 80 years or 90 years, or if we have to wait till 100 years and they start ranking greatest races one more time, this is going to be on that updated list. We just saw the 75 greatest races last year, the 50, 25 years ago. Whenever they decide again, whether that's 80, 90, or 100, to bust that back out, this is going to be on that list, and it's going to stand the test of time, I think, with every great race we've ever seen. Now, I'm sure there's some recency bias in that statement, but I do. I think I'm not saying it's going to have the magnitude, because at the end of the day, it was the second race of a 36 race season. But in terms of just quality of race, it doesn't get much better. It does not get much better. And I think it can compete with any era of the sport's ever seen, going back to the golden years of the King and the Silver Fox, going back to the Intimidator and the Rainbow Warrior. I think this was a race that, again, I hope people really appreciate, and it isn't lost in the sauce, that it was just the second race of the 2024 campaign. Colin, I see you grinning ear to ear. What's your thoughts, brother?
Yeah, don't get lost in the sauce. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
I had to do it. I actually enjoyed the race from start to finish, and I was thinking about this for the past 2 days, really sort of looking back on basically this whole journey that we've had with Atlanta Motor Speedway, with the repave, then the reconfiguration, and what we got. this was exactly what SMI, Marcus Smith, NASCAR, iRacing, all the partners who came together for this new Atlanta reconfiguration, this is exactly what they wanted. This is sort of the perfect blend between what the 550 package was supposed to do for the NASCAR Cup Series versus what, you know, what we thought was going to be sort of this half, not really a super speedway, but not really a mile and a half, something in between. And this was the perfect example of what we got. And I
think the love child, baby, it's the love child.
And when we first heard about this, I think we all agreed that this was a horrible, horrible decision. Now we see the fruits of our labor, and every single race that we've had on this new Atlanta has been exponentially good. I think we would rather prefer this version of Atlanta to the old version of Atlanta, or even probably the original version of Atlanta, which is the actual oval, which reminisces Homestead Miami Speedway to a little extent. This is perfect. And what we saw on Sunday was aggressive racing. It kind of reminded you of the old super speedway racing, this three wide, four wide, exciting. It's kind of on the edge of your seat, lap after lap after lap, and you didn't know what was going to happen. And I thought certainly is one of the best super speedway races of the year, and certainly race of the year contender. I think we have to wait till we get past the Coke 600 to see if this is the race of the year contender, because that has been probably the best race the past ever since the next gen era started. But my thing is, I wish the only downside about this race that I have is I wish, like Dale Jr. said during the race, he tweeted, he was like, I wish Fox Sports would zoom out a little bit and show more of the action, considering this is a smaller racetrack and you can see more than Daytona and Talladega. But outside of that, I'm excited for Atlanta, and I think the racing, as the teams lose grip over the next couple of years, we may still see sort of the same thing. After probably year 10 or something like that, we're going to have to kind of reevaluate. They may just repave the entire thing. Who knows? But this is the first race, and I think this is going to be lost on some people. This is the first race of the playoffs this year is Atlanta Motor Speedway. And, boy, I tell you, if you thought getting in at Daytona was crazy, imagine a super speedway race to open the playoffs – to lock yourself in to the next round of the playoffs, which means at Talladega. So basically the first two rounds of the playoffs are super speedway events. I think NASCAR keeps going up and up and up. And we talked about this last week about getting the casual fan from Daytona to Atlanta. This is, I think, exactly what they wanted. You saw sort of the same racing. You saw two exciting finishes back to back. My only thing is, look at the schedule, and Las Vegas looks like it's going to produce a great race. I would say Phoenix is probably the outlier out of all the next couple of weeks, because Phoenix has historically not put on great racing in the past, ever since the reconfiguration of Phoenix. That's my only issue, is if you want to keep the casual fan involved, I don't think Phoenix is going to keep that casual fan from week to week. You'll see great racing at Las Vegas. Then you'll go to Phoenix and people are going to be like, what was that? Why was I so invested in NASCAR? It kind of blew me off. And then they're going to probably tune back into Bristol and go, wow, this is amazing. I can't believe we took a week off or something like that. So I think in 2025, my wish list would be, if this is the schedule that we're keeping, I would take Phoenix out of the early season schedule, or probably just have one race at Phoenix and make it the championship race, and we can all live happy, happy lives.
Well, we'll see what happens. Of course, we wait with bated breath for every schedule update we can possibly ever hear about, especially in an era that the schedule is changing more and more each year, for the most part. All right. A few more thoughts on Atlanta, but let's delve in. Here, I'm going to take a Loganity moment here. I want practice. I want practice. I want practice. I want practice. Some form of practice. That's what I want. You won't have pileups on lap two if you have practice. And some people might say, well, that wouldn't have prevented the wreck at all. Well, guess what there, Nostradamus? We have no singular idea. Let's try it with practice in August, and then you can let me know if it works out. Because here's the kicker, folks. Here's the kicker, and then I'm done, I promise. Here's the kicker. We got practice this week. Huh. So why are we doing it everywhere but the super speedways? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Because we kind of don't need it.
Is it the sworn off restaurant that we just don't eat at? I don't get it. No, we need practice, for God's sake. Little time for the car. People say, well, it doesn't benefit financially. Well, every other decision in the world does. So how about you go ahead and let one for the team? Anywho, Tom Willoughby, sorry that you were dealing with the clogged garbage disposal. I had to get that off of my chest because I think it's stupid.
But you don't need it at super speedways.
I don't need a McDonald's on every corner, but I have them.
But here's the thing that we have all played a NASCAR video game of some sort, right?
Yeah.
Various levels of you guys up there probably played the console. I graduated to the alt table.
Oh, don't sound like a big leaguer here.
I'm sorry, I just am. I have money. Anywho, not much money. I racing took it all. But we all know Daytona, Talladega, now Atlanta is you put your foot on the gas, you put that sumbitch to the floor, and you turn left. That's all you do. There's no like let off point. There's no break.
First of all, there's more aero at Atlanta than there is Daytona, Talladega.
Oh. I'm sorry. Have you been on any game or anything that shows like because iRacing was heavily involved with the manufacturing of the new Atlanta? And let me tell you something: it's some bitch right foot to the floor, turn left, turn straight a little bit, turn left. It's the tire wear. There's no let off points here. It is a super speedway by design. You don't need practice for a super speedway. I'm sorry, you just don't.
You are entitled to your opinion, and I'm entitled to tell
you. I'm entitled to my right opinion.
An opinion is not right or wrong. It's the same.
I'm sorry, it's a fact.
It's much more real than you think.
If Natalie Decker doesn't need practice for a super speed race, then no one needs practice for a super speed. This isn't Indianapolis in the IndyCar. There's no rookie orientation program here.
All I know is we used to have years where, guess what, rookies and inexperienced drivers, they got a lot of seat time. And I'll tell you who practice might benefit. I don't know, a couple of TV partners. But never mind all that. I got to move on. There's things to talk about. Let's talk about mi amigo Daniel Suarez, who doesn't need practice. But guess what? He'll take part in it this week at Las Vegas. We can just make up the rules as we go along. We can just make up the rules. So, mi amigo, Daniel Suarez, in a pivotal year, 57 races without a win, maybe if he had more practice time, then he would have had that happen. But 57 races without a win, did you realize it was the same damn candy in the pinata for 57 races? Because there was a pretty big tweet out there, and you can check it out at racingrefresh.com, our top 10 tweets of the week. We're going to change that title. We got to... Got a couple of comments from a few people that know the X real well, and I guess that's not accurate. So wait for that next week. Adam's going, who do we get the comments from, right, ain't you? Take a guess.
This is the first time hearing this.
Just take a guess. You know it. And so it's the same candy for 57 races. Somebody switched that candy out every cut. We couldn't at least did it in the offseason, but let's talk about more serious matters. Daniel Suarez is in a pivotal year. Pivotal year. Trackhouse is on the upswing. Justin Marks and the boys, Pitbull. You know, it's a pivotal year for Suarez. Some people have wondered, is he on the hot seat in the 99? I'm a believer he is. Does this win take that pressure off if that's the case? Adam, I'll start with you on this one. Do we finally put the baby to bed as far as the Suarez out of Trackhouse rumors?
I don't know if it fully does just yet. I think two races in, it's too early to tell. I know it's a win, and that's great, and I'm happy for him. And I think, you know, if this whole situation is like a house fire, I think we've started turning on the garden hose and helping put it out. It's it's not going to put it all out just yet, but I think it's a good start. And I think he needs to continue this, you know, strong start he's had to the season. I don't know if he needs to win again necessarily, but I think it's going to be more about the overall results for the year rather than whether he wins, you know, and how many wins he gets. I think, you know, he's now in the playoffs, right? So see how far he gets in the playoffs. If he makes it to like a round of 12 or a round of 8, I say, you know, sure. I think that that'll do more to eliminate some of that pressure. But I don't think it's fully there. And at least I hope he's not feeling that way, because I think he needs to still keep going and keep putting his own pressure on himself and keep performing.
Well, he is in the playoffs, allegedly. You never know how the season's going to
shape. It's true.
So for now, he is very likely to be in the playoffs. Colin, what say you? Does this put any thought of Suarez not being in the 99 next year out of the thought process?
I think it calms the conversation for a little bit, but I don't think it removes the conversation entirely. I think, to me, that Shane Van Gisbergen is this very big obstacle in the future for Trackhouse Racing. They have to decide whether or not to bring him on full-time, because I think SVG does come with sponsorship. I mean, he does have a partnership with Red Bull. He does have partnerships with WeatherTech. So I think he would bring sponsorship to whatever car he decides to go in if he decides to run the Cup Series, which I do think is a very strong possibility for 2025. Now, does Trackhouse expand to three cars? Do we think they're ready to expand to three cars? I think they might be. But if they're not, would I take SVG, who won in his first ever Cup start at Chicago Street Course, over Daniel Suarez, who in his Cup career only has two wins? I mean, we're comparing Suarez to SVG potential, but we're also comparing him to Trackhouse, his teammate, of Ross Chastain, who has four wins at Trackhouse Racing, about, what, over 50% of the wins that Trackhouse has in the NASCAR Cup Series can be contributed to Ross Chastain. So, I don't know. I mean, I would like to see Daniel Suarez. I think he's good enough to be in the Cup Series ride. Obviously, he's an Xfinity Series champion. He deserves to be in one of NASCAR's top three series. But I think he needs to win at least one more race this year. Or if he doesn't win one more race this year, I think he needs to make a deep playoff run. I would say maybe round of 8 to lock himself into the seat in 2025. If he doesn't, I mean, he could be on his way out of Trackhouse in the offseason.
Colin, I completely agree with you. Dylan, Tom, anybody else in the comments, let us know, what do you think? What do you think Suarez's future is at Trackhouse? Is he back next year in your estimation after this win? If not, what do you think his future looks like? Let us know in the comments. We'll get to him as many as we can. But we got to keep moving along. So you know what that means? It's time for, boys and girls, it's time for our happy hour headlines.
Oh, look at that. Look at that.
Now that was a button click right there.
How about that reaction time? She must have finished the burger.
Yeah, she was ready. I hope she was mid-chew, to be honest with you. Boom.
Wow.
Dylan says, SVG up, Suarez down, business decision. Dylan, I got to tell you, I think that's the way this cookie's going to crumble, my friend. I really do. I we'll see what happens. But that's the way I'm feeling about it. All right, let's talk a little bit more about Atlanta. There was some scuttlebutt, some hot scuttlebutt, because there were some penalties drawn out. Adam, break it down one time for me. Let's talk about Joey Logano, a.k.a. Spider-Man, and then we'll talk about Noah Gragson and the rest of the fine crew at SHR. Yeah. Talk to me.
We'll start with Glovegate, as it's being called. Logano got dinged for some weird modifications he made to his gloves. And my understanding of this, and correct me if I'm wrong, probably Colin is maybe more qualified to talk about this, but just the aero advantage that you can get from that as far as your gloves go. My understanding is that as you're driving the car, because the window is open, you have the window net, but air comes through there and you get sort of like a parachute effect where air is just pushing the car back, basically. And apparently it's common during qualifying that they'll put their hand up you know, by the window to keep the air out of the car as best they can. But, you know, if you've got your glove with webbed fingers all the way through there, it's almost like I said in my article this week that it's like flying a wingsuit when you're doing a parachute thing there. So, I think they went after him hard for that and made him do a pass-through penalty. Now, luckily for him, they all wrecked on lap two, so he found his way back to the lead lap right away. But, they also gave him a monetary fine. I think it was $10,000. So, yeah, interesting. You know, this isn't one of those things where it's like, oh, this was a mistake. We accidentally put webbed fingering in there. Like, this was clearly we're going to try and get around the rules here. Yeah. And so, you know, I think with the other penalty, you can feign ignorance. I'm sure that everyone's trying to cheat at all times, because if you're not cheating, you're not trying. But but I think, you know, with various components on the car, you can say, oh, we didn't realize that it was two inches off, or, you know, more. I'm sure I don't use inches up here. Sorry. centimeter off or something. That's easier to say, oh, we made a mistake. But there's no mistake with this glove. Like, I don't understand how he thought they weren't going to notice that.
Colin, I got to tell you, when I first read this penalty, I was getting more confused than Waylon Jennings at the We Are the World session. Because ain't no good old boy ever since Swahili. So, question. How exactly is this a big deal? What does it mean they were trying to do? Because, again, I'm just layman's terms here. I didn't quite understand it. It was a lot of Greek to me until Bob Prokhorst broke it down. Colin, you've always had a way of helping me understand a few things. Why is this a big deal? Why was this? What were they intending to take advantage of? What were they trying to – how were they trying to cheat? Let me know.
So let's take it back to where the penalty started. And it basically the glove did not meet safety standards. That's pretty much the crux of this. Without the webbing, he just did not wear a piece of equipment that was not regulated by SFI. Now, SFI, for people who don't know, I don't know the acronym off the top of my head. I didn't put it in my notes, but pretty much the layman's terms of it is they are a industry standard for safety certifications for various forms of driver wear and seats and other equipment in any racing series. F1 has SFI certification, IndyCar's SFI certification. Pretty much any major motorsport around the world has some sort of SFI certification. It's a standard practice. And in a NASCAR rulebook and any other major motorsport rulebook, if anything is a fire suit, gloves, hats, shoes, head socks, they all have to meet SFI standards. But that glove did not meet SFI standards, so he was obviously dinged for it. Now, the webbing is a completely interesting, and I have to say, it is probably an ingenious solution to probably gaining a couple thousandths on your time. Now, the thing is, let's go back. He actually qualified on the front row at Daytona, and then he qualified on the front row at Atlanta. So technically, we don't know if Joey Logano used these gloves at Daytona the week before. It's a very huge possibility, and that could maybe have affected maybe a couple thousandths of a second. If we go back, there's a great article on the Racing Refresh website about the next gen aerodynamics and how much drag is actually on these cars. These things are giant parachutes. And if you're decreasing the drag just by a little bit, just to gain a thousandth, that can mean a huge advantage, especially for qualifying. So, you know, NASCAR said that he was trying to gain an advantage of by using these webbed glove. And they docked him a couple points. So, and also a monetary fine. So I think NASCAR did the right thing. They can say it was a safety issue, and I think everyone's going to get behind that, because no one's going to appeal a safety issue sort of violation here. Joey Logano's team did something ingenious that I think probably a lot of other crew chiefs in the garage think, damn, why did we not think of that? That's ingenious. Webbed gloves. Maybe he does have webbed fingers. I don't know.
As you were saying that, Colin, sorry, I did a quick Google here. It looks like there is a clip from Logano running qualifying at Daytona. It's hard to really tell, but it does look like he's got the webbing in his gloves there as well. So they must have thought they got away with it once, and let's try it again.
Let's try it again. But I already got one cookie out the jar.
Yeah.
Freddie, thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it. Tom says next Super Speedway race, Logano's going to wear gloves that are size 5XL. Freddie, we thank you for tuning in. Bush is in the truck race. You can always find each week's entry list for all three series every week. Usually it's on Monday, but whenever you put them out within a couple hours, somebody that's on the Racing Refresh website will post the entry list. At racingrefresh.com, you can check out each entry list there each and every week. So, Freddie, thanks for tuning in. We'll give you our Vegas picks very shortly. Very, very shortly. Mm-hmm. So thank
you. Also, racingrefresh.com, you can buy a t-shirt with my face on it.
Absolutely. You can buy a t-shirt with my animated face on it.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on. There's no picture of my face on any t-shirts at the website. So we might have to change that. Get on
USA. That's it right there.
I have a picture of the Whopper that Peggy was eating earlier. Do you think we might get copyright infringement? The image of the Whopper isn't copyright.
I don't know. Why don't we just get them to sponsor us? And
yeah, I don't know why.
We can be happy hour brought to you by Burger King.
So. Let me tell you what. I'll put that tell folks.
Burger King, if you're watching, I just want you to know there's a place in Fort Walton Beach that sometimes you get a fry, they put an extra onion ring in there.
Look,
I don't know if that's against Freddie, but whoever's
I agree, Freddie.
Freddie, look.
God, take it back.
Okay.
In my fries tonight, I had like 5 or 6 onion rings.
See? Whoever is working the fryer at Burger King is doing the Lord's work. All right.
They were like
unlike Wendy's, who's trying to get price gouge your baconator.
How did we get back to this?
I'm just saying.
Now, look, let me tell you what. If we could ever get any fast food place to sponsor us, I'll look like I'm auditioning for my 600-pound life on TLC. I'll get it done for you.
If there's any place where you can have it your way, Burger King.
And Race Me
Fresh. BK. Have it
your way.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Freddie wants a Whopper. Dylan says you can actually order half and half in range of fries at BK. What in the blue hell's going on here? All right.
I don't know.
Ryan Priest and Noah Gregson each got 35-point penalties because they were SHR is the cheat this damn team you ever saw in your life.
I don't know if they're the cheatingest or if they're just the worst at doing it.
Well,
Do you know
any professional criminals? Well, no, I don't, but apparently.
Tony Stewart could pass for a mob boss for sure.
Certainly.
Yeah, he's big and.
Look, I got to tell you, folks. I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen. I think SHR's time is ticking in its current form. Tony Stewart has lost so much interest in NASCAR. He hates the sport. The only time he ever praises it when he's doing something NASCAR related. Every time he's doing something NHRA related, he runs it down like a dog. He acts like NASCAR's got that dog in him and not in a good way. I think SHR's time is ticking in its current form. We know they don't make profits as owners anyway. He hates the sport. His team is horrible at trying to take advantage. Because think about it, folks. I don't mean to make light here. But hold on for a second. You're trying to bust ass and cheat to run 25th? What?
You got to do what you got to do. At some point, you got to do what you got to do.
I think SHR's time, as what it currently is, I don't know if that's Tony selling his portion. I think it's ticking. He's getting displeased with how they're running anyway. And, of course, as a great leader would, and I'm being very facetious when I say that, he took no responsibility whatsoever, even though he's got more fingers in his damn pots than you can even think about. He's trying to start a kid and get a family and all that whole thing. And then he's in his wife's NHR. Look, Tony, you're not a good leader anymore. You've lost your passion. You've lost your interest. But, no, deflect the blame.
Can we get Logan in the box here? Because I don't want to get
seriously.
Peggy, give Logan the single box. Give him on screen. Let him rant.
I'm good.
I'm just telling you how it is. I think SHR, their time is ticking in its current form. I really do, folks. And if you think Tony Stewart's a good leader by deflecting any sort of accountability on his lack of performance for his race team when your race team's called Stewart Haas Racing, mm-mm, that's not true. All right, I'm done.
Okay, bring it back to me. All right, I'm going to rebut Logan whatever he just said because he's wrong. Tony Stewart is
I'm
the
not face. Wrong.
He's the face of the organization. Give me full box, please. Thank you. Tony Stewart is the face of Stewart Haas Racing by far, but he's not cutting the check. It's Gene Haas who's cutting all the bills here. And Gene Haas is the most stubborn motorsports owner that I've ever seen in my life. If there's anyone who needed to get out of F1 as quickly as possible, it would probably be Gene Haas, but he's not going to do that. And he's probably not going to get out of NASCAR anyway. My theory, now you can bring Logan back in here and you can bring Adam back in here because I want to see their reaction. I really do. What I'm about to say is going to be mind-blowingly, like, it's going to connect all the dots here. Noah Gregson's back at SHR. Josh Berry's back at SHR. Dale Jr. buys the team, rebrands it in his own image, and then Dale Jr. enters the Cup Series with his driving stable that he cultivated over many moons, and then he goes off to win championships, just like his papa did as an owner.
Look, I'm not saying that you're Think wrong necessarily, but let's be honest about it. The reason that Junior is not already in the Cup Series is because he's a frugal fella. He's a really frugal
guy. His team is, at least. I don't know if he even pays that close attention to the money, but
this man just said he spent $800 on a Lego Titanic set, all right, on eBay. He's not frugal.
Yes, he is frugal. He is very
frugal. If I bought an $800 Lego set, my future wife would come in here and shoot me in the back of the head. Like, it'd be over. It'd be done.
Look, you could be right, but I'm a believer because, again, I'm not saying frugal in the sense of he's cheap about everything, but charters ain't cheap right now. And assuming they continue and it looks like they will somehow, some way, some form, we'll see. I think when he has to really dip into the pockets is when he gets a little frugal, as do most very rich people.
I can't remember a time I was wrong.
I hear you. Freddie says maybe DEI comes back. Look, I don't think Teresa's going to allow that to happen, that wicked witch of NASCAR. Tom Willoughby says Harvick has kind of fallen a Tony Stewart path. He already owns a racetrack. Maybe a race team is next. Harvick buys out SHR. You heard it here first. You know, I brought that up to some buddies, and I think that's possible. Now, some of us said maybe when Keelan gets a little older. Freddie said he always liked Junior, but his thing is he had some big shoes to fill after his father died. He did well, don't get me wrong, but he didn't have the career his old man had. That's true. That's true, but it's hard to have a career that lives up to one of the people that are in that conversation for greatest of all time. But we got to keep it on moving.
Let me throw out a quick conspiracy theory.
Okay.
Here's what happens. We know Dale Jr., Kevin Harvick, Justin Marks, and Jeff Burton own the Cars Tour together.
Yeah.
What if they all put their money together and bought SHR? Think about it. It'd be a four-person ownership. They can all put their money in, and then we can have four probably NASCAR greatest minds together in one race shop, and then they can start winning championships. It'd be great.
You know what I think is great? And then moving on, I think it's great that none of you have said, well, Logan, that's a crazy Loganity take. It's not ever going to happen that SHR.
I've heard crazier, Logan. you kind of fell off with your Loganity takes, my friend. Be honest, I feel like you don't deserve – the moniker of Loganity. I haven't heard a crazy Loganity take in a long time.
I've got him. Trust me.
Why don't you go ahead and say it. Say one right now. Say one right now, Logan. Go ahead. Go ahead. Say one right now. Go ahead.
Again, I think it's a Loganity take that I think Harrison Burton's going to get the 100th win for Ward Brothers this year.
What are you smoking? That's crazy.
Yep, there you go. We got to get to a weekend preview, damn it.
We do.
Let's do the weekend preview. All right. Tom says his sister's the frugal one. He thinks Kelly pays the bill. We can discuss how cheap the Earnhardts are or aren't some other time. All right. Las Vegas, trucks, Xfinity Cup, all back together again for that bright light city. It's going to save your soul and set it on fire. So we're back at Vegas. We got the triple header one more time. Kyle Busch is in the truck series. You can go ahead and put it on the board. Win number two. Hometown guy.
By God, that's Kyle Busch's music.
It is nowhere near on the Xfinity series. Eric Almirola will make his first start for Joe Gibbs Racing this year.
I know. Yeah. It, I think it partially it'll be a question of, it'll be a question of like how good the equipment is, but I don't know. He did win that race in Sonoma in the Xfinity series in subpar equipment, technically, I guess.
I mean, he's giving him money. Jesus is giving Eric Armstrong money to run this week. Just like,
yeah. But I'm sure he'll still have a Smithfield bacon pack somewhere in his holler. It's the way it is. Matt, we're just glad you're here, brother.
Matt, we're good to see you, Matt. Good to see you.
Yeah, Matt, glad you're here, Matt.
We love you, buddy. So, yeah, I do. I think Bush gets the win in the Truck Series. Xfinity Series, again, noteworthy that Eric Armstrong back. You know, hopefully it's a great weekend of racing, as Freddie is predicting. I think it will be. I think Las Vegas has really produced some great racing in this era of NASCAR, and I think it's produced some great racing in this next-gen era for the Cup Series. Any thoughts before we get to our racing refresh picks? Either one of you.
About the race in general?
Sure.
We don't have time, Colin. Let's move
to right, how many times? What's the? Where are we, I'm going to set the over under about 20. How many times do you think NASCAR and Fox is going to use like a Sin City Vegas pun? Oh my gosh! Like, oh my gosh! Kyle Busch took two tires. He's going all in on strategy. Guarantee it. Look, guarantee it. It's going to happen, and you're going to drink yourself to death, and your liver is going to be shot at the end of this Las Vegas weekend.
That's a real gamble.
I'm going to listen to so much Wayne Newton this weekend to get myself ready. It's going to be great. A little DocuShane's going to be playing all weekend long. That's right. I'm going to get it done. Mr. Las Vegas. Hope he's out there, by the way. F1 begins in Bahrain. Any thoughts on that? I think we all know the winner.
Colin? Well, in 9 hours, F1 cars take to the track. Actually, 8 hours and 31 minutes from now. Nice. F1 Grand Prix weekend begins with FP1, and it's scary as all hell because over the winter testing, it was reported and then confirmed by Red Bull Racing that this entire winter test was done with Max Verstappen at low engine power, and he was still a second to 0.8 seconds faster than the rest of the field. It is like, this is a race. I know we're not doing hot picks tonight, but this is a hot pick. Max Verstappen wins every single race this F1 season. All right. Like, it's a foregone conclusion that no one's going to touch Max Verstappen. It's going to be a fight for second place. That's the reason we're not writing about it at Racing Refresh. We are on the Max Verstappen strike. All right. Until I will not put out an F1 article this entire season unless someone else wins a race. Then we will cover it. Because at this point, it's Max Verstappen versus the field. But anyway, Daniel Ricciardo, he looks really good. My wife said that Daniel Ricciardo looks like a hottie in his new Red Bull Visa Cash Card Toro Rosso, whatever it's called. It's just Toro Rosso, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? But hey, you know, F1 is back, and we can all wake up at midnight here in the United States, or Adam can stay up late on a Saturday and watch great F1 racing. Isn't it great? It's great. It's beautiful. F1's back, baby.
Colin, we look forward to your content returning to RacingRefresh.com soon. With that, we got to move on to Racing Refresh picks.
It's Max Verstappen.
All right.
Well, Adam, break it down for us. How are we doing?
It was a fall from grace there, Mr. Logan. Bad pick last week.
I don't win a lot of these things, baby. Look at that scoreboard.
Look at that. There we go.
Logan 5, P2. He's under me. New fantasy team named this year. Colin top, Logan bottom. It's going to be a great team name.
Let's bring in producer Peggy here too. We'll get started here. Colin, you picked Corey LaJoy last week, so
woo, baby, Corey LaJoy.
Congrats on that.
Over here, y'all. Second pennies.
So we do need to make picks for Las Vegas, and Logan, you're up first.
Oh, doggy. Look, I got to get back on the good side here. I'll take Kyle Busch. Let's go with the hometown kid.
All righty. Next up is myself. Actually, I don't know if we showed this comment here. I saw Freddie post this. I kind of like it. Surprise Cup winner for Sunday is Josh Berry. I'm going to pick Josh Berry. Good pick, Freddie. I'm going with it. And if I lose, then I can blame
$50 on one. That ain't gonna work for me.
Next up is producer Peggy.
I'm gonna take the other Kyle Larson.
All right, very good. And last but not least, Colin.
Y'all are all wrong, but I appreciate the effort. It's a surprising pick that's going to come out of left field, but for Logan, it's not. I'm going to give me the boy from Michigan, Eric, that Jones boy, Jones. He takes the win this week at the Pennzoil 400, baby.
There you go. I mean, that's a lot of talk there, Colin, from the person who came in last in season one of Racing Refresh Picks.
Doesn't matter. Last season doesn't matter. Last season. Look, if you think about it, this is really where the NASCAR season begins. We're out of Super Speedway. We're now going to see what everyone got. And I can tell you that Legacy Motor Club, that Jones boy, Jimmy Johnson's been cooking. He's been cooking something fierce. And Eric Jones could come to Las Vegas in that Toyota, that Dollar Tree Toyota Camry TRD. And he's going to park that sumbitch right in Victory Lane. And the confetti going to be flying. The girls are going to be everywhere. He's going to receive that championship belt. Michigan will burn to the ground as they celebrate Eric Jones. Richard Petty with amusement will just keel over and die because why can't you not? The Petty ghost will rise from the graves in North Carolina. They'll dance and traipse around the Smoky Mountain air in North Carolina. It's going to be a fantastic time. As Dollar Tree goes to Victory Lane for the first time in NASCAR history.
Well, that's
I don't even know that stat. I don't know. I just assumed because Dollar Tree is Dollar Tree, and they're not on.
That took a lot of turns. That took a lot of turns, buddy. Well, I was so with you until you said the king done went to be with the
little. What better way to go out than in Victory Lane?
Knock on wood.
He's not coming to Vegas this weekend, so he wouldn't be in Victory Lane.
Okay.
There you go. Well, he may not die, but goats will traipse around. Michigan will burn to the ground.
He and Dale just do not dig Vegas. They do not. Anywho, it's closing time.
It is.
Adam, are you going to Vegas?
I am not. No, I wish I was.
Are you going to Vegas?
I'm
what's
not.
What's your next race going? What's your next race?
Probably Sonoma. But we'll see. You know, stay tuned.
What are you seeing? John Mayer in a dancing in a burning room, or is that what?
You're gonna go to the Toyota Save Mart 350.
Yeah,
that's a wonderful sponsor for that race. I like.
Honestly, what you should do is you should go to the Iowa Corn 350 week later.
Well, you know, one of them is a little easier to drive to for me, so I'll probably go to Sonoma. But we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. You know, never say never.
And consider I send him on a king hunt every race he goes to. That's
true. I heard the king wasn't going. I thought not worth it.
I literally tell Adam this, and that since it's closing time, I can say this. I go, you have one no job, and you know what it is. Every time he goes to a race,
it's true.
He goes, I'll do my best.
Yeah,
I'll do my best.
And I do, I do my best. Let's wrap the show up, kids. We are overtime here, NASCAR overtime.
Well, green flag back in the air. God, that statement sucks. Anywho, Adam, final words.
Just thanks again for tuning in, everyone. Good to see you all. And check out the website. We got some hot con coming out every week. I've been trying out this new weekly feature called the Freshies. So go check that out if you like. It's my words of wisdom. I don't know if you could call it that, but it's something new for me. So go check that out. The Freshies, they'll be coming out every week after each race. We've got entry lists. We got Stat Chat coming out on Saturday. We got everything.
Race results.
Check us out. Yeah. Race results after the race. Come check it all out.
And I've got out a certain Petty 75 article getting ready to drop next week. I'm working on it. I have to send it to the boss man to help clean it up, but that's what we do. Anywho, Adam, thank you as always for allowing it possible. Colin, final words.
I think I've said all the final words I possibly can as I read racingrefresh.com and I look over the freshies one more time and I see most egg on face as one of the subject headers in this article. It looks like riveting, compelling thing. Got to be honest. It's a great article. Don't. And also, yeah, 30-second reads. But anyway.
Don't forget the 30-second reads. That's right.
That will hype you when you show up on time.
Anyway, racing refresh coming. The Racing Refresh IndyCar article is now at 5,000 words. Did you know that?
Oh, just get published. Just get published.
Because it is not just a fact thing. It's an op-ed as well. It is my state of the series address before we enter the IndyCar season. It will be entertaining and amusing. You may shed a tear. You may laugh with joy. You may jump around your house, as many people do. They read articles on the toilet. Yeah, I don't know what you might do. But regardless of how you read our content, we're thankful that you do. Also on Racing Refresh Facebook page tomorrow night, Racing Refresh is a partner with the International Asphalt Association on iRacing. Join us as we take our trucks to Indianapolis Raceway Park for an absolute barn burner. Should be amazing. There's an open wheel rider, you know, in it. He's really good. And other than that, you know, support your local short track. Be kind to people. And Burger King, if you're out there.
We're hungry.
$1 million idea that you have about your Whopper. I have some ideas.
I do too. Peggy, my better half, and neither one of us are of us are ashamed to squat and surf on racingrefresh.com. Final words.
Well, as you guys may have noticed, I did get a haircut, and this relates to racing, I promise.
Your haircut looks great, Peggy.
Well, not everyone agrees with you. My sister told me I looked like Owen Wilson.
That bitch!
So, I leave you with the words, ka-chow. Wow.
Ka-chow.
I cut my hair with the Flobee. You know that vacuum thing that you could go like this? Yeah, that's what I do.
Stop giving out free sponsorship, you guys.
It's not – I look, out of anyone, any company in the world to sponsor us, if Flobee sponsors us, I'm putting that as one of my 13 reasons, all right?
I'll cut my hair. Cut my hair.
What a show this has been. We hope
I you cut enjoy Logan's
it.
Hair.
It's easy. You just – zoom. God. Look at his hair. He looks like there a cheap bet.
That's luxurious right there.
There you go.
That's luxurious. All right.
Let's wrap it up here, kids.
Believe me, I'd like to. Matt Marr, Tom Willoughby, Dylan, we really appreciate you coming in. Freddie, thanks for staying loyal, brother. Thanks for staying loyal. And look, we hope you enjoy a great weekend at Las Vegas Racing. Tune up a little docu-chain by one Wayne Newton to pay a little tribute to the area. And with that, look, let's have a great race weekend. We'll be right back here, same bat time, same bat channel, next week at 9 p.m. And until then, we'll see you at the next track.
Ka-chow.
Ka-chow.